Hi everyone, my name is Yarrow and you're listening to the Embodied Business Podcast. Hi, welcome to 2024. A happy new year if you're celebrating. Oh, I'm coming to you on a gentle Wednesday afternoon. I'm kind of sitting under my window to get some extra daylight before it leaves for the day. And I have a little dog on my lap. So that is just setting the scene. And I want to talk to you about content planning for 2024 today. So I'm going to make a slightly bold, I don't want to say promise because, you know, that's not how it works. But I'm going to say there is a possibility that you could spend half a day in the next 2 weeks and map out a content strategy for the rest of the year. And there's a possibility that that could feel really good. And that the area of marketing and social media and writing in your business will begin to take up less space and time and cause you less headache. So that is my wish for you. And I want to share some tools with you today to make that happen, hopefully. Before I dive in, I have a few updates. So firstly, in my web design practice, I'm structuring the year a little bit differently. I will be offering 6 custom websites this year. One is already booked. And those will be kind of slotted into February, April, June, July, October, and November. And so you might say, why would I book a web design project for October? I hear that. I get it. I totally understand that sometimes the time just feels right and you want a professional website like yesterday. But from experience, I can tell you that is not how the good magic happens, because the better you prepare, the clearer you are on your ideas for your visual language, what you want to say, who you want to work with, the better I can help you. And if you take a little bit of time to reach out to me, maybe a few months before you feel you're ready, then we can have a chat or two on Zoom. I can walk you through the process. I can give you a beautiful workbook that I always share with my clients, and you can then take that away and really work on your copy. You can get some pictures taken or take them yourself. You can look at other websites you really love and pay attention to what it is that you enjoy about them. And then when it's time to work with me, you know, the whole process will be so much easier. And on the plus side also, what I'm offering this year is a 5% discount if you book more than 3 months ahead. And I'm also in that case offering longer payment plans so you can stretch the payment overall over a longer period. And I think that's great for a lot of people. It's a really worthwhile investment in your business, and it gives me more of a chance to plan my year as well and to really make sure that I'm coming at my projects with the best possible headspace and creative juice and an abundance of joy in the process. So I will link to my web design offerings in the show notes if you want to check that out. And I'm also going to offer 8 tech support days this year. So those are days where you can book me to be a second pair of hands in your business. I can help you with your marketing strategy, your software systems, your automations, your newsletter, your website if you have a few small fixes you want me to look at, and all kinds of other things. I will link to that as well. All right, but now I want to dive into the content plan for 2024. So sorry, I forgot one more announcement, which is that Stitching Together is starting on Sunday. So I'm offering free Spark sessions every first Sunday through my Substack community, and I'm now expanding that by bringing back my Patreon. And as part of that, I'm also offering co-crafting sessions. So there'll be 3 sessions overall each month. It's not directly business related, it's more about creative practice, but obviously that can totally, you know, give juice to your business as well. And we'll gather each month. I will share some skills and pre-recorded videos, and then we'll have these beautiful, gentle spaces to be together and make stuff. So if you're craving accountability for your practice, then I hope you'll check that out too. All right, but now I'm really diving in. Thanks for your patience. So here is my own goal for my content map, right? You might have a different one, but this is why I make one every year. I want to be really clear on what information or inspiration I'm sharing, in what space and with whom. So these are technically 3 questions that I'm addressing here, right? The first one is, what do I have to say, you know, why does it matter to me? What information do I want people to have? What might be inspiring about that? And what is kind of the grounding bigger vision, bigger picture? So for my Pink Whale Studio business, for example, it would be that I really want to support people in building sustainable, creative, beautiful livelihoods, right? Good working conditions for everyone, making a good income, doing work that feels good to you. That is what I want for everyone. And so yeah, the content that I'm creating obviously is serving that purpose, but it really helps me to have that map to get clear on what that means for me every month. And the sub purpose with that is that I'm not reinventing the wheel all the time, because that can easily happen, right? I don't know if you're on social media or if you have a blog or a newsletter or maybe a podcast even, but if we lose touch with our practice of creating content or connecting with people in some way, it can feel easily overwhelming, where we get to a space of like, gosh, what do I have to say? You know, am I an imposter? Are people even listening? Is the space already overcrowded? Like, what is unique about my message? And on and on and on. And so I always feel that when I'm clear on what information or inspiration I want to share this year, it's just much less likely for those feelings to come up. And then the second question is that, you know, who am I sharing this with? Who are my people? What kind of community do I want to build around my work? And then the third question is, where do I want to share that? And that is really important too, because again, trying to be in too many spaces at once can feel really overwhelming, and it's not good for our sense of like focus and creative joy. So I also want to avoid the sense of like, oh my God, you know, I have a podcast here and a blog there, and then I'm on TikTok and Pinterest and Instagram. I'm trying to be really discerning with the spaces I inhabit online, and to make sure that the first two questions that I've addressed, you know, who is this for and what am I actually sharing, is kind of aligned with the spaces that I'm sharing it in. Because if I know, for example, that my message is not really the right one for some place like Twitter or X, as it's now called, then why would I overwhelm myself with trying to be there and trying to, you know, learn the rules of that particular space, right? Okay, and I've talked about this a lot, so if you're, you know, feeling like you need more support around those questions, do go back into the archive of the podcast, because it's something I'm so passionate about. There's lots of content around that as well. So another important question, I think, to address before you really start working on your content plan is, what is your intention for growing your community? So we have addressed what, who, and where, but, you know, how does that all come together and how it supports your work? So for me, I would say I always want to connect with like-minded small business owners, people who are fun to work with, creative, who have similar ethics and values to me. Of course, you know, we all have different ideas. I love variety too. That is my dog growling. But at the end of the day, I want to work with people that are fun to be around, that get me, that I get them, and it just feels like a good flow, right? So, and then, yeah, I also want to feel in community in my work, because, you know, again, some of you might have teams, some of you might not. I mostly work by myself, for myself, I would say, and in a lot of ways, I really love that. But I also need to make sure that I have, like, you know, a sense of community in my work, that there's a sense of creative collaboration, be that with my clients or with my podcast guests or with the people that I interact on Substack, for example. I just want to make sure that my work is supported by community, and that when I do something that maybe feels brave or courageous to me, I know that I'm, you know, it's being well received, because I've created this community of kindness and gentleness around me and generosity, and that is reciprocal. So I think that has always been like a value. I don't want to, just for the sake of it, like have 100,000 followers that I have no sense of connection to, because... So for me, there are many different reasons for why I wouldn't want that. But I also want to be clear that it's totally okay to want recognition, right? Like, if you have new ideas and you're sharing with something with people in a vulnerable way, of course you want followers and you want likes and you want positive feedback. That's totally human, and I don't, you know, I don't want to dismiss that need in any way. I want that for you, and you deserve recognition in a way that feels good. But yeah, for me, I'm very clear on my priorities right now, and those are, you know, really building intimacy with a small but also expansive and diverse and kind community, I would say. All right, so now we've addressed some kind of core questions that I think are important before you work on your actual content plan. The next step will be to think about what tool you want to use. So I use Excel sheets, very simple, because I keep one tab open at all times, like all times throughout the year. I always have this one tab open, try to limit the rest. It sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. But that sheet is always open and I refer back to it all the time. And it has one subsheet that is about finances, kind of looking at and tracking what's coming in and what I'm spending. It's also kind of a simplified overview of my bookings coming up throughout the year. If I have any launches coming up, they are in there as well. And so it's really important for me to have that sheet open at all times. So yeah, have a think about what might work for you. Some people really love Notion. You might just want to have pen and paper. That's fine too. But what is important, I think, is that that sheet can grow with you and that you're able to edit it. So for me, that would mean, for example, that pen and paper feels a little bit too messy. I want to be able to really, you know, track numbers as well, add things up, have that functionality of Excel in there, and I need to be able to go back in and adjust my plans, and that would just kind of feel a bit too all over the place in paper. But you do you. And then the next thing I recommend is that you have a vertical timeline, basically. So, well, it's not actually vertical, is it? So let me explain this differently. So I have like a timeline, basically, that I think of as a straight rainbow. And that is probably because I color coordinated that way. So in the vertical kind of view on Excel, I'm deciding which spaces I am actually in. So for me right now, that would be my Substack community, my podcast. Well, that's actually pretty much it. But you might have other things like Instagram, Pinterest, local community, your blog, and so forth. So basically all spaces that you create some kind of content for. And be really expensive there, because if, for example, you're teaching local workshops, then that is also something that you create content for and that you want to promote and tell people about. So yeah, I might have, you know, I actually teach local workshops as well. So I have another area there. So that is kind of how you organize the vertical space. And then horizontally, I have a timeline. And I personally like to break them up into months rather than weeks, but both is possible. And you can even try seasons if you want. So then I've identified which spaces I want to show up in. And then I decide how much do I want to share across time in those different spaces. So I have a monthly newsletter, for example. So I now have 12 fields in the vertical section of Substack where I can say, okay, this is what I'm going to share each month this year in my Substack account, right? Or these are the four seasonal workshops I'm going to teach. Or if I'm on Instagram and I want to post 3 times per week, then those are the topics, broadly speaking, that I want to address here. Now, this can become very granular if you wanted to be. You could literally spell out a different post or your newsletters, and you can really draft, you know, if you want to, a whole year of content out. That's not what I want to do. My goal is more to get a general sense for how much time I need to budget for all the content I want to produce and to be very clear on what my commitment actually is so that I'm not overcommitted. So my commitment right now, for example, is 2 podcast episodes at least per month and then 1 newsletter at least per month. And so I can really break that down. I can allocate time in my calendar and I can make sure that I'm not booking too much client work or other kinds of stuff that would mean that I'm not getting to those tasks. If you've never done a sheet like that, I would really encourage you to experiment a little bit with how much structure and guidance you need for yourself, because you know, it can become so detailed, but it can also be kind of flowy and very flexible. But what really seems to help a lot of people that I've worked with over the years, sorry about that, is to kind of visualize the work that is required. And I think that ties back into pricing as well, because so often we think about our products or our hourly rate for services, and it feels like a lot. You know, it feels like we're asking maybe for too much, and actually spelling out how much content you're producing as part of your work, which is freely available to everyone, maybe, you know, justifies your pricing to you in a new way, or gives you more confidence to ask for what you need for your business to be sustainable. What you might also consider here are seasonal differences or seasonal references that you have in your business. So as you look at that timeline and the different spaces that you're showing up in, you might see, okay, you know, in spring, I know as a herbalist, those are the topics that often come up in my practice. Or when it's cold season in autumn, those are the plants that I really want to highlight. Or I have this group program in the summer, and I really want to make sure that in all the spaces I show up in, I really make time and space to talk about that, so that, you know, people are aware and they have enough time to decide if it's right for them or not. So you basically align that timeline with both the season of your own life and what's important to you and what you know about your energy levels and your health, but also with the seasons of your business and what you already know might be coming up this year for you. If you don't know what's coming up for you this year, that's okay, you know, but starting that journey of trying to really be seasonal, I think is something that you really benefit doing very early on in your business. I wish I had done that sooner, because I became more responsive rather than reactive when I did, right? And that made so much more space for my creativity and for doing cool experimental stuff. I also think that we each have to find our own balance between planning and responding to things. So sometimes when I suggest to people, hey, why don't you have this timeline where you're asking yourself what you're going to share 9 months into the future on your Instagram account, for example, they're like, oh my gosh, you know, there's no way, because all these things are happening in the world, and how could I just, you know, show up with this pre-thought out content when there are so many things to address? And I totally get that. I think for me, what feels true is that when I have a plan and I'm not, you know, stressed out, reinventing the wheel, falling behind or feeling behind, then I actually have much more capacity to be responsive and present in a kind and thoughtful way. So there's this balance for me where I really am thinking about the content that I might want to share in the summer now, in January, but because I create that structure for myself, I also know that whatever actually happens in the summer, I'll be more able to be present with it. And that might well change my content plan at the time, and that's okay. But, you know, I can always move things around, but as long as I have some kind of plan, I have just a much better chance to be consistent and to build my community in a way that is meaningful and that offers value to people. So again, you know, your own balance could be really different to mine. It could, for example, mean that if you're having a podcast and you're thinking about the year ahead in content, you might define a topic that you want to address each month, and maybe you have like 12 core episodes planned, and maybe even some of them recorded already. But then you might also have additional episodes that, you know, respond or explore things that are in that moment really important to you. But I'm gonna bet that if you are a podcaster or a blogger or a newsletter writer or whatever, having at least some content ready to go is gonna feel like such a relief, and might really open up, you know, creativity and spaciousness that you might feel surprised about. So for example, in November, I recorded a bunch of episodes, solo episodes, for my what is now called the Making and Mending podcast. And over Christmas, I really wanted to take some time off. I didn't want to record. So I had some ready-made episodes, and they felt important to me because I'm promoting the Stitching Together, which is starting on Sunday. And I want people to know about that. So I think last week, for example, I just quite spontaneously felt on the 25th that I wanted to share a Christmas episode. And just was like, it would be really weird to record right now. I'm kind of snoozing and eating and enjoying myself. But I also feel like Christmas is a difficult time for everyone. And I really like the idea of like popping an episode out there in case anyone needs it, you know, and it feels maybe like a nice way to take a break from the festivities and listen to something completely unrelated. So that was already recorded. I published it, felt great, no pressure. It took me 5 minutes to do, and that was great. And similarly, in the autumn, I had a period of kind of more chronic pain and more other symptoms. And I also had pre-recorded episodes, and I didn't stick completely to my content plan because, well, that's, you know, that's just how it is. But I felt so relieved that I had a clear set of ideas in place and some episodes already recorded. So yeah, I wonder, you know, how might that feel in your business to batch your content more and to plan more ahead? Another question that people often come to me with is, should you schedule your content? So you have this content plan now, should you schedule things in? And again, I think that's a very personal thing. A lot of people feel anxiety around kind of pre-record, you know, scheduling or pre-writing Instagram content, for example, or any other social media content as well, because there are so many pressing issues that they want to address. And again, I think it really depends. It depends on the kind of content you share, whether you're able to at the same time also show up live sometimes. If I was on Instagram, for example, I think I would schedule some of my content, and that would feel totally okay to me because I'm only human. I couldn't be there on there every single day, but I would want to make sure that I'm really live at least twice a week to answer questions, respond to comments, maybe go on the stories. God, I'm so out of touch with that thing. But, you know, I would want to be present there too, and I would want to share things in a moment that I care about. And some of that might be political causes or ideas or shout outs or whatever. So I think for me, it would be a mix of both. And I trust that you'll find your own answer with that. But yeah, so coming back to this core idea of a content plan for 2024, I want to recap the practical things that I share with you today. So firstly, think about your goal with a content map. Mine is really getting clear on these three questions. What inspiration or information am I sharing? With who am I sharing this? And where do I want to share this? And then my goal also, you know, underneath that is really feeling more chill in my business, being clear on, you know, what's happening and when, avoiding feelings of overwhelm, of being behind, or imposter syndrome. And then I want to tie all of that to my overall intention for the community I'm growing. I'm using a really simple Excel sheet that is a vertical timeline, a horizontal timeline, and vertically I'm defining the different spaces I want to show up in. And then horizontally in my timeline, I'm also spelling out, for me, I do it month by month, what topics I'm going to share about. So for example, if you are a herbalist, my favorite example, then you might say, okay, I'm in these different spaces and this is the format I share with them. I publish one podcast episode, 4 Instagram posts per month, and then I send a monthly newsletter. And then each month in the coming year, I'm going to look at one plant. So in January, it might be rose, and February, it might be nettle. And they each could correspond to the season in some beautiful way. And then in my newsletter, I'm going to write a plant profile. On my podcast, I'm going to share like a ritual idea and a recipe. And then on Instagram, I'm going to break that down into smaller chunks, right? So that is fairly simple, I would say, but it's a really beautiful, very stable framework for you to fill in each month what you actually gonna share in content without ever this year, you know, getting to a point where you're like, oh my God, I'm drawing a complete blank here. Because at least you know it is March, it's time for Dandelion, and you have committed to the different spaces and you know what format you wanna share there and with whom. That already is you winning, is my argument. I also encourage you to think about seasonal references and how that maps to your potential launches or service periods that you have in a year. And I said that I think it's a good idea to find that balance between planning and responding and to batch as much as you can, and then to maybe consider doing some scheduling that feels good alongside your being live and present with people at the same time. All right, I think it might really help if you have just listened so far for you to look in an Excel sheet or get pen and paper out to really kind of ground this idea that I've just shared with you, because then it will hopefully be much more tangible. But I hope that you're feeling inspired and less overwhelmed by the idea of all the content that you're going to create this year. I'm cheering you on. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.